Now, to pass on from that to something less sublime, less elevated, on the practical side, the Mahayana did not stress the monastic life, did not stress asceticism nearly so much as the Hinayana had done. The Hinayana had tended to teach that if you were serious about the spiritual life, if you were serious about the attainment of enlightenment, then you should become a monk, you should retire from the world. But the Mahayana did not take quite that view. It did not actually discard monasticism, but it made the point that what was important was not whether you were living as a monk or whether you were living as a layman. What was important was that within the particular situation that you found yourself, you must make every possible effort to follow the Bodhisattva path and realize the Bodhisattva ideal. You should make every possible effort to help not only yourself, but other living beings with whom you were in contact on the spiritual path. This was the view of the Mahayana. Now, the literature of the Hinayana was embodied in what we call the Tripitaka. We have now, surviving in the Buddhist world, only one complete Tripitaka, the Tipitaka of the Theravada school, which is one of the ancient Hinayana schools. And corresponding to that, we have for the Mahayana not only the remnants of the Sanskrit version of the Tripitaka, I'm sorry to be so complicated, but we have the Mahayana Sutras. The Mahayana Sutras are discourses attributed to the Buddha, which do no doubt go back to the Buddha in some respects, but which develop and elaborate his teachings to a very great extent also. We have, for instance, the Saddharma Pundarika Sutra, the White Lotus Sutra, which is very, very important. I've no time to say anything about it. We've also got a whole collection, 34 or 35, Prajnaparamita Sutras, or sutras devoted to the perfection of wisdom, all of which have been translated by the late Dr. Edward Conze. And then we also have a work called the Gandavyuha, which is part of a much larger work called the Avatamsaka. These works in Chinese translation were very important for the development of Chinese Buddhism and the emergence of the Huayin and Qigong schools of Chinese and Japanese Buddhism. Now I want to say just a few words about this Gandavyuha, or Avatamsaka Sutra, because it links up with one or two things that have been said already in the course of this conference. I'm not going to say very much. I'm not going to put it in a theoretical form. I'm going to quote one of their illustrations. The Gandavyuha, or the Avatamsaka, is concerned to depict the nature of reality. And it goes even beyond the Shunyavada in some respects. And the Gandavyuha, or the Avatamsaka, says, in reality is like this. Well, there's a Japanese term for it, which Japanese Buddhist scholars have developed. It's called Jiji Muge. Jiji Muge. Thing, thing, no different. Huh? The Chinese are very concise, and the Japanese too. But what does that mean? Well, there's a lot that could be said. One can always say a lot about the inexpressible. I'm just going to give you their illustration. Their illustration. The illustration is called the illustration of Indra's net. Indra, in Indian mythology, which is shared by Hindus and Buddhists alike, Indra has a wonderful net. And this net is made entirely of jewels. And these jewels have a wonderful property. And it's this. That every single jewel in that net reflects all the other jewels. And all the other jewels in the net reflect that one jewel. So each reflects all. All reflect each. Each reflects each, and all reflect all. And reality is like that, according to the Gandavyuha, according to the Avatamsaka. Things are not separate. Everything is contained in, reflected by, reflected in every other thing in the universe. Now that is a rather, so to speak, static model, and Buddhism is not on all a static teaching. So one must not just imagine there being this sort of static net made up of these static jewels, each with their static reflections. But each jewel is, as it were, moving into all the other jewels. and all the other jewels are moving into, right? Each individual jewel. And here another illustration is given, that of a number of beams of light mutually intersecting. You've got beams of light coming from all directions, but they pass through one another. Right? They don't offer any obstruction. And this is what things are like in reality. Now, I couldn't help the other evening, or the other afternoon, I think it was, when I was listening to Professor Baum. I couldn't help thinking of the Gandavyuha and of the Avatamsaka Sutra. I couldn't help thinking of Indra's nets. And I can't help wondering, he's looking very thoughtful, whether Indra's net means anything to him.